From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the June 8th edition of Commodity Week. Corn is green, but the drought monitor says it's not really pretty out. We'll try to figure out whether it's an up or a down market as we head into next week today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Our panelists in studio today include Aaron Curtis from Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and on the phone line, Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Commodity Week is a production, of course, of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. By the way, if I haven't said it for the while, thank you. Thank you so very much for listening. We do very much appreciate the time that you take to spend with us each and every weekend. Well, let's begin our discussion with this question. Wayne Nelson, next week, the United States Department of Agriculture will release the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates on the 12th day of June. Which surprise do you expect from them?
The surprise is probably no surprises and no changes in a lot of areas is the possibly what we think they could do that could supersede a lot of thoughts that are going on out there. You know, will they increase the ethanol usage, which we think they probably should? They probably won't. Will they cut back some of the carryouts? They may or may not.
Aaron Curtis?
Well, I think the difference, obviously, is going to be that the market's going to be open for trade, and that's going to be a new thing. It'll probably get a little more attention than a June report typically does. But you look at the average guess for corn carryout for next crop year, it's down about 140 million bushels below what the USDA said last month. So assuming that the USDA is going to ratchet into the yield a little bit to see that big of a cut in carryout this early. And you look back the last 10 years, you see that five out of the last 10 years, the USDA has left the yield alone between now and August when we get our first real estimates of production. And the four out of the 5 years that they did change it, the yield was a little lower. So we'll see if they do adjust the yield just a touch.
And Dan Zwicker.
Well, I think the thing that's that I would be watching is what they do with soybean carry out for this current year and how that is followed through on into the next year. I think this demand that we have on the books here for late summer, early fall, I think there's reason to believe the carry out could go down into the 150s. I don't think USDA will do that right away, but I do think the 210 number that USDA is using is way off the mark, and I think that is ripe for a big slice.
Well, if you think that's way off the mark, and you're talking about 150, 210 is the carryout USDA is using. The average trade guess this time around is just a 197. You are way below that.
Well, somebody has to lead. The trade seems to be a lot of followers. Now, let's say USDA may not do it this year, but it's coming. It's coming. That's about all I can really say, is the demand is strong enough with that fall off in South America that that export number is going to really blossom. And whether or not USDA recognizes it on this report or not, we'll just kind of have to wait and see on that.
Can I pick your brain for just a second, because you're in a new vantage point there in Louisiana at the export facility that belongs to CGP. We're looking forward to come and see you in August, by the way. But do you have a different view now of what that soybean market looks like? Did you see something different, or is this just a broad picture that you've been watching?
Oh, I think you just look at the export book that's on the books for August and September. Somebody's going to have to get these beans bought, and that's going to be the key to watch these commercial grain companies get their hands on the cash product. And get it loaded on the barges and get it down here into the ships. There is big book on soybeans, and that is going to be really interesting to watch how that plays. Now, they may end up having to postpone everything into the later in the fall, but there's reason to believe that USDA is way off the mark on their export projection, and they're going to have to make some adjustments to that. If they don't, I guess we'll see what will happen. I mean, USDA is going to do what they're going to do, and it'll be what it is. But I think USDA is going to backpedal on their supply demand tables all summer long, to tell you the truth.
July soybeans at a high this week of $14.39, a low at $13.31.5. Its settlement price at $14.26 on Friday afternoon was up 82 cents for the week. That's right, it was up 82 cents on the week in the July beans. November beans at $13.32.5 were up 74.5. That is a big jump in 1 week, and Dan Zwicker says there's got to be a lot more, because at least by the time we get to August, he's wanting to offload barges of beans and put them on the big vessels and send them to China. Are we going to be able to do that, and how much of a price jump do we need from then and now, if you believe that, Wayne Nelson, do we need?
Well, I think that the farmers, they're looking outside. Most of the Midwest farmers, it's awfully dry. Their beans aren't growing. It's going to take at least $14 on the board before that they decide to sell many more beans at this point in time. We had a lot of farmers this week that had shorted some $14 calls to pay for some puts. We rolled those on up to $15 calls, just figuring that we had a good shot at the $14 because of the weather.
Yeah, I think Wayne's right. I think we're going to be a little patient in here to see how this weather cooperates. At least from our vantage point, we sure haven't seen a whole lot of increased farmer selling, either an old crop and new crop, kind of in a wait and see pattern to see if this dry weather continues.
All right. So I would suspect that Dan, and we'll ask him this in a second, is in a hold mode in the November beans and new crop sales at this point. But they did finish at 13.32.5 and gained 74.5 cents for the week. Any reason that farmers aren't wanting to sell, but any reason you think that they should sell another parcel of new crop?
I think you'd be a little patient in here a little bit and kind of see where this thing goes. See how these rain totals go through here, the Midwest here, the first of the week, and kind of see what this forecast wants to say. If we continue on this drier pattern, like they're saying in the second week of this forecast, I think I'd be a little patient right here.
We were thinking here that we'd see a lot more double crop acres, and the last week and a half has got a lot of talk saying it's awfully dry. They don't know they'll spend the money. Well, they'll put them back out after the wheat or whatever, Todd. So, you know, until we see some moisture to bring up some of the beans that are still sitting in dry dirt in some areas, and whether we see where the double crops get planted, well, I think it's best to wait.
Dan, does the drought monitor support your position of being pretty bullish the bean market?
Well, I think from a fundamental point of view, at least looking at it at that, it does. You know, you can see the dryness working its way into the main growing area. Now, as soon as you get confident or comfortable in one position, then, you know, Mother Nature changes on you. But I feel about as comfortable as you can get is that the warm and dry pattern, or mostly dry pattern that we've had, I think that's going to continue at least for a couple more weeks, and then the next big shot at a shift in the pattern will be sometime around the summer solstice. And if you don't get one changed at that point in time, then you're on for another 3 weeks of hot and dry weather, and the markets will skyrocket.
It's an awfully big jump, Dan, this week, 82 and 74 and a half cents. Does your cyclic analysis tell you that there's much more left in the upside market at this short-term time frame?
I think so. I mean, I'm looking at the monthly lead soybean futures chart here. We're off. I know that there's a couple reports that we could go through that the bull can get his teeth kicked in on. But we've got a nice monthly reversal up going, negating the reversal down that we had during the month of May. And it looks to me like we're getting in position to possibly make new all-time highs in soybeans. I'm just really animate that the corn-soybean ratio is going to probably go to a record yet before the year's out. I think if you want to talk 4-4.50 corn and you go to 4-1 on corn, you're talking about $16-17 beans, I think, are in play.
Oh wow, you went from 3-1 to 4-1 at this point. That's a jump.
I'm bullish soybeans.
I guess you are. Okay,
but you're not bullish corn if you're going back into the $4 range, Dan.
Yeah. Well, let's say $5 corn and $20 beans. How about that? Or $6 corn and $30 beans.
You know, the last time somebody mentioned a number that was like $22 on beans, they haven't been back on the show.
And it happens this time of year when everybody gets real good and bullish, and we talk about these big numbers, and then it rains, and then we're all Cub fans.
Next year. Wait till next year. Okay, corn. We better get to the corn market. We've got a few minutes left in the front half of the show. July corn this week, a high of 605 and a half. The low there at 557 and three quarters. The settlement price up 46 and a half cents. It gained half, a little bit more than half as much as the soybeans for the 3-1 or 4-1 doesn't quite work yet for Dan. Settlement price in the July at $5.98. December corn at $5.44. It gained 34 cents for the week. I suppose it was all about the drought monitor at the end of the week in Chicago.
You know, the corn market was playing along with the weather picture very much, Todd. It also went down very hard. We had some technical short covering going along with it. And I think that there's a lot of people that just are sitting back. The farmers are not selling old crop corn or new crop corn at this point in time. Nothing was moving, and we had to get something going somewhere.
Your assessment of the marketplace, Aaron?
Yeah, I think you look at the Deese corn. We've been stuck in that 510 to 530 range for the last couple weeks. Finally, Thursday, we finally kind of broke out of that. We'll see where this market wants to go with the weather forecast as we come in Sunday night and Monday morning. You know, 550 probably be some sort of psychological resistance, but as long as the weather stays on the drier side, I think we're going to continue to see some support.
And a couple of reports that we have to deal with next week, of course, will be the USDA WASD numbers. Those are due out the 12th, and the crop progress report, which always comes out on Monday afternoon. Expectations for both of those, Wayne, and the average trade guess for the corn, by the way, ending stocks for this year, or for the 2011-12, is now 826 million. USDA was at 851 last month.
Well, I think that because of some of our sales and the way that the ethanol has been using the corn, that should be where they would be at, is to come down on that. As far as the crop ratings, they're expecting a 2 to 3% drop just because of all the dry weather and looking here. But, I mean, like I say, we do look for the crop ratings to drop a little bit come Monday.
And, Aaron, you mentioned this up front, the next year's ending stocks. Average trade guess is 1.74 million. USDA's estimate at 1881. About 140 million bushels difference between last month and this month, according to the trade. What do you think USDA will show?
Well, the Midco estimate is around 1.810, so we're kind of splitting the difference here a little bit, thinking that we will see carryout tighten up a little bit, but not nearly as quite as tight at this point in the year as what the average trade guess is.
All right. So, Dan, we know you're bullish the soybeans, and you mentioned a number that was pretty low for corn. Can you be bullish soybeans and bearish the corn?
No, I think you got to be bullish corn, too. I think one of these days, USDA is going to wake up and smell the coffee and realize that their 166 bushel yield estimate spread over 96 million acres is one would lead you to believe that they've already legalized pot in Washington. I think you've got to look at something more realistic, and the crop rating levels over the next few weeks are going to show you that they're ratcheting downward, and the market, I think, is starting to reflect that that 166 bushel yield is real lofty, and you got to be looking at something 160, and it may fall below that. As technicals go, old crop corn also has a monthly reversal up going for it, and these are the time of years that you usually have monthly reversal downs coming in play, because markets have a strong tendency to make their highs during the month of June, and the way the monthly price action is working is kind of reminiscent of maybe what we did in 2010, and we go up from here.
All right. Thanks so much, Dan. And Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana, also in studio with us. Aaron Curtis and Wayne Nelson back in 2 minutes.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. A nearly stationary ridge of high pressure over the Midwest brought pleasant weather to most of the Midwest this week, with mild days and cool nights. Temperatures this week were near to below normal across the state of Illinois, ranging from near normal in northern and western Illinois to 3 degrees below normal in southeastern portions of the state. The high pressure ridge slipped into the eastern third of the country late in the week, and temperatures began to warm as southerly winds returned warm air to the state. There was some rain this week across most of Illinois, but not really enough to overcome the drying trend across the state. A weak disturbance moving southeast across Illinois on Monday brought a band of 1/4 inch rains to parts of central Illinois and thunderstorms, some severe, in southern Illinois. Most of Illinois receives on average an inch of rain a week during the month of June, so we are running behind that average. This week's U.S. Drought Monitor has expanded the area of abnormal dryness across all but northeastern Illinois, with extreme drought depicted in southern Illinois. After a midsummer-like weekend, Illinois will return to near-normal temperatures the middle of next week after the passage of a strong cold front. The passage of that cold front also marks our best and perhaps only chance of rain in the next 7 days. Showers and thunderstorms are possible across the state beginning Monday afternoon and continuing until the front moves through late Tuesday. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the June 8 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Commodity Week, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Some of the other numbers that came in from the CME Group in Chicago this week. July wheat was up 18 cents at 6:30 and a quarter. July of next year at 7:20 and three quarters, up 28 and a quarter. The cattle futures for the week ended 2:17 and a half higher in the June contract. Feeders were up $2 and the lean hogs were up $2.30 on the week. On the phone line with us today is Jim Bauer at Bauer Trading in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Jim. Thanks for taking the time with us.
Good afternoon.
Interesting discussion. I know you take a look at the global markets, and for the first time in a very long time on Commodity Week, we didn't mention Europe, Greece, Spain, Italy. Any reason to think about them in this past week?
And the biggest one you missed was China.
Absolutely.
But I think based upon the discussion, there's an element there that we're missing, and I think really needs a lot of attention just based upon my conversations with the two meteorology groups that we work with, based upon the, you know, the actions that we're seeing coming from China. I think it's pretty obvious that they're concerned about their crop conditions. It looks to me like the North China Plains, which has about 33% of Chinese production in corn, probably somewhere around 20-25% in beans, and to a lesser extent, wheat and rice. But of that, part of that is irrigated, granted. But I would still put anywhere, at this particular moment, at least 10-15% of the Chinese corn crop and bean crops under moderate to severe stress. And if they don't get rain in the next 10 days, my meteorologist thinks there could be substantial loss on the Chinese crop, which would have caused them, in my opinion, to be even more aggressive in this grain market. Now, I like Dan's comments on the ocean market and the river market. And we're seeing pretty strong bids there, and you can make a case for that 2012-2013 ending stocks number, in my opinion, going as low as 140, and that's assuming that we get through this next several weeks or at least the next month with relatively benign conditions, and based upon the conversations that we're hearing, obviously that's not cast in stone either. So again, let's put a little bit more emphasis on the Chinese crop. I really think that is as much of a market leader as the U.S. situation right now.
Jim, this is Aaron. What was your reaction to the USDA's 166 yield last month, and where do you maybe base it now a month later?
Well, I don't want to get myself in trouble because I pounded on them pretty hard on the media. I thought that was pretty... In my opinion, my personal opinion, not that's all it is my personal opinion, I thought that was pretty amateurish. I thought that was uncalled for. It's far, far too early to put that kind of yield crop, you know, that far above the trend line. Even though the crop is planted early, there's no indication whatsoever that an early planted crop is a high-yielding crop, and we're already seeing kind of backlash from that. So my opinion is when you start out at the beginning of the year, start out on trend line, not above, not below. But to go on either side, that extreme, that early, I thought that was uncalled for.
Jim, if what price do you think we can go to now if we stay hot and dry for the next 3 weeks?
Well, my projection right now on that 2012-2013 ending stocks, which you guys have done a good job talking about, I'm down to 143. But I don't want to put too much emphasis on beans at this moment. Let's come back to corn just a little bit, because if corn doesn't get a rain in the next 10 to 14 days through a large portion of, let's say, east central Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, kind of the hole in the center of that corn and soybean belt, which is where I think the storms are probably going to miss, we're going to start tacking on some pretty significant yield losses in corn. And then, of course, that's going to affect soybeans. Soybeans' critical month is July, August. But the way I've been playing the bean market for quite some time, clear back, you know, early spring, I like the long the fronts, short the deferreds on the spread. So that's a relatively volatile spread. But that thing could go absolutely bonkers if we don't get some significant rain here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And maybe we will, maybe we won't, I don't know. But certainly the spreads are the way that I'm playing it right now.
Jim, maybe changing the topics a little bit, but it is a major factor here in commodity prices is the trend of the dollar, and how do you see that both from a technical and fundamental point of view, and how that may or may not come back and haunt us here in agriculture?
Well, I think we talked about that the last time I was on the program. You know, I've had this bearish negative slant towards the euro currency for quite some time. I learned at a young age when I first went to Europe in my early 20s that there's a lot of respect and there's a lot of admiration from one country to another, but there's also a lot of discord. And even at that young age, I noticed that there's always a lot of friction there. And so far, that friction between these countries seems to me has escalated. And the biggest problem that I see in Europe is, you know, they can eventually let Greece go. I think that's okay. But they can't let Spain go. And the biggest problem that I see out ahead for them is the young people just are, they're without kind of hope. And a lot of them with degrees and have worked hard and Some of them haven't worked so hard too. There's an element there where there's a lot of social forgiveness for them, I suppose. But the young people being unemployed is a constant problem. Until they get that situation kind of turned around, that whole area of the world is going to have issues. And I'm still bearish to euro, although you got to be a little bit careful being too bearish, because as you know, the funds jump in there, get real short, and then they blow them out just like they did here several weeks ago.
Were you happy with the Chinese monetary moves this week?
Well, I always use that phrase: "Do what the Chinese do, don't do what they say." And they've done a couple of really pretty aggressive stimulus measures here just this week in order to try to keep that growth rate somewhere around at least that 8.1%. So I think China is concerned. Europe is a major customer of China. China does not want to see a slowdown much below that 8% mark. So I think they're aggressive. They take action when they need to. But yes, I thought that was a moment in time where it says very clearly, we're not going to let this thing just fall out of bed. We're going to do everything we can, and we'll take aggressive action if necessary. They don't piddle around. When they decide to do something, they go after it.
Well, Jim, kind of on that same term, how much do you think these global economic concerns are kind of limiting the fund interest in corn, soybeans, and wheat?
Well, we've seen some of these major firms basically selling their commodity units. That's kind of a sign that this is not an easy market to trade. I mean, we've all been through a lot, as many years as all of us have been in this business, but this is a market which has that global overlay. It's got pretty much round-the-clock, round-the-world trading. You've got massive commodity funds with billions of dollars that can come in and out of this market in a short period of time. And obviously, just this past, 2 weeks, we've seen what happens when those big commodity funds start to unwind. It's like a circuit breaker, which hits the next circuit breaker, which hits the next circuit breaker, and it just blows the market out. So unfortunately, all of us that do a lot of work and try to analyze the market correctly through S&D tables, which is really the way you should trade it, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you get these massive liquidation moments off these technical and computerized moves, and you just got to do an inordinate amount of time of extra risk management, I guess, is what I'm going to say, because it does distort the market, in my opinion.
Jim, will we have any convergence with the July contract as short as the corn is? You know, we read on a couple news wires this week that some of the export houses maybe are long the July futures, and if they can't buy the cash, they're going to hang in there for delivery. Do you think that could happen?
Well, I think they're going to be like all of us. I mean, we're in a real critical time frame right now. I mean, I have customers across the nation. If we don't get this rain in the next 2 weeks, and or China doesn't get a rain in the next 2 weeks, who's going to come in and sell this market? If I were commercial and I was looking at this extended weather pattern, and of course it can change on us, weather markets are mercurial in nature and difficult to master, but yes, I would agree with you. I would agree with your comment or your bias, at least what I'm sensing, that yes, they would come in here and take this delivery on the front end, because if this thing gets really intense and gets into the point where we know we've got significant yield loss, who's going to sell? They're just going to wait, and these commercials are going to have to really bid up their front month.
Hey, thanks so much, Jim.
Okay, have a great weekend.
You too. Jim Bowers with Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Time for a final word from our panelists today. We'll start with you, Dan Zwicker.
Looking forward for the group coming on down here in August. It will be hot and humid, but we look for a good time down at the French Quarter.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it as well. Aaron Curtis.
Just a reminder, the market will be open on Tuesday morning during the crop report, so we will know right or wrong some sort of reaction instantaneously.
And Wayne Nelson.
It's all about the weather and about what they do with the Spanish banks over the weekend.
And one final market note, starting the 25th day of June, the settlement prices in the open outcry will be at 2 o'clock, so the electronic and the open outcry will settle at the same time. I suspect the CME group figured that the grain elevators all were settling off of the electronic trade at 2 o'clock, and they made a move to settle up in the right place. You're listening to Commodity Week. This is Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. You have a great weekend.